Good morning, everybody. How's everybody on this big, bright, beautiful blue sky day? Good. If you'd all stand for the call to worship, please. If you'll see in your bulletins, I think it's on the back page. I don't like the term leader, but for lack of a better term, that would be me. And you guys are the people. How about that? Prepare the way of the Lord, for things are about to change.
Every mouth shall be filled, and every mouth
be low. As we await the coming of the Messiah, we are called to prepare our hearts for his coming.
We are called to turn around, repent, and allow God to renew us and work within us.
Then we will see the salvation of our God. Beautiful. Good morning again, everybody, and welcome to our second Advent Sunday. Nice to see so many of you out here this morning. This morning we're going to be talking about listening. Listening to how God reminds us how special this time of year is. How despite everything going on around us in our lives and the world, we could still come together and have a love for our fellow humans as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So we'll start off. Does anybody have any special guests here today? Anybody they'd like to acknowledge and introduce to the rest of the congregation? No? Well, that's okay. If you are somebody here who doesn't normally come, if you're a guest of somebody here or something like that, maybe just a touch shy, don't want to get up, that's cool. We welcome you warmly, and we're very, very glad that you can come and spend a little time with us on this Sunday morning. Story time. If we could get the kids to come down to the front with Mrs. White, and I'm sure she's got something planned because she's always got awesome stories for you guys. And then after you're done, of course, you'll head off to your Sunday school, and the grown-ups will get on with everything we do in here. You'll find out about it someday. It's all secret.
Good morning. So like Mr. Stecky said, today we're going to talk upstairs about listening. And one of the things about listening is that you don't have to talk. Like, if you want to listen, then you kind of have to be quiet. So I think sometimes maybe your mums and dads might play this game. Mr. White and I played this game. It was called the Let's Not Talk game. And the winner was whoever, if Paul or Ben, could be quiet the longest. So the story that we're going to hear today is about a man who had to stay quiet for 9 months. Can you imagine to be quiet that long, not be able to talk? So this man's name was Zacharias, and he was a priest who worked in the temple, and he had a wife. Her name was Elizabeth, and they were righteous in God's eyes. That means they did what they were supposed to do, and they worked really hard, and they obeyed all of God's laws, and they were very old, and they had no children. One day, Zacharias was in the temple, and he was doing his job, and an angel came to him. And he saw the angel, he was afraid. And you all know, what does an angel say when you see him and he's afraid? What does he say? Don't be afraid. Exactly. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. And this angel said, your wife is going to have a son, and his name is going to be John. And he will bring great joy, for he will prepare people for the coming of the Lord. And Zacharias said, how can this be? My wife and I are very old. And the angel said, I'm Gabriel, and I was sent by God to tell you this, but because you did not believe me, you will be quiet and unable to speak until after the baby is born. So how long does it take for a baby to be born? 9 months. It's a long time. So Zacharias could not talk. But when the time came for the baby to be born, Elizabeth gave birth to a son. And all of her family and friends said, that's awesome, because at that time, if you had a boy, you just named the boy after the dad. And they said, oh, we have another little Zacharias. And Elizabeth said, no, his name is going to be John, because that is what the angel told Zacharias that his name should be. And then they got the dad, and they said to him, well, we're going to name him Zacharias, right? And can the dad talk? No, so he had to get a piece of paper, or I guess they had chalkboards then, I don't know. But he had to write down and say, nope, his name is John. And then he suddenly could talk. So after 9 months of listening, he finally could talk again. That meant that because he said the boy's name was John, just like the angel said it should be, I guess he learned his lesson that he should listen. So Zacharias said that this actually, John, ended up being John the Baptist, who was a man that lived, just was a little bit older than Jesus, and he went around and told people, be careful, Jesus is coming. So his whole job, his whole life, his job was to get people ready to listen when Jesus came so that they could hear what Jesus was saying. So that's the story today, and we are going to be, the grown-ups are going to be learning about listening, and you are going to go downstairs and listen to Mrs. Zacharias help you make a great program for us on Christmas Eve, right? Can we bow for prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unspeakable gift, the gift of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray, amen. Go have fun.
Have fun, guys. Learn lots. Thank you, Ingrid. The whole idea of the listening game. I think you've given my wife something to think about now. Thanks, Ingrid. Thanks. If you turn to your bulletins, a few items we'd like to highlight for you this morning. No doubt many of you know Rudy Lage, having a little bit of a tough time these days. He was transferred this week to the palliative care unit at St. Boniface Hospital. And Louise, the family have asked for continued prayers as they try to make him as comfortable as possible. Anna Dick sends warm greetings and many thanks for keeping her in your prayers. Your thoughts are greatly appreciated. And also wanted to make mention, I can't remember the date, but there was another date originally listed for the youth Christmas dinner this month. It's been changed now to Wednesday, December the 19th at 6 o'clock. So if you were planning to go to that, keep that in mind. They're going to have turkey, stuffing, gravy, drinks, and everyone coming, welcome to bring a side dish to share with the group. If you'd like more information, just get in touch with Lizzie. Oh, and Lizzie's got a comment, something she'd like to say, or Christian. That would be cool. So everybody doesn't show up with potato salad or something. But anyways, if you'd like more information, Lizzie is the one to get in touch with. And by the way, Lizzie, I apologize. Thank you so much for lighting our second Advent calendar, a candle this morning. It's much appreciated. A whole bunch of other news and notes and things to go through this as well in the bulletin. So if you got a couple of minutes sometime through the week, maybe check out the rest of the announcements. Is there anything else anybody would like to share this morning? Do we have a mic we can take over there? Yeah, just a second. We'll bring a mic over to you.
Sorry. Yes, I went to see Uncle Rudy with my wife and sister on Friday afternoon, and the shell is getting kind of frail. But he still loves, that spark is in his eyes, and he still loves to talk. And Tante Louise is still trying to get him to shut up. And that is the beauty of what we've come to know. And he's still that guy, and he does want all of his friends to come by and say goodbye, because I'm not saying it's touch and go, because it doesn't look that way. He isn't eating much, but you can last without, he's drinking water, but you can last without food for a while, but he still has that spark to talk to you and to remember old times. And if Tante Louise is there, well, she can't remember things that are, that are up to what she can remember long term, but she cannot remember very well at all short term. So when you go there, then you'll know. And apparently she has been placed, and your thoughts and your prayers and your hard work have gotten them to the point. But Rudy knows strongly, and he only is concerned for Tante Louise. He has no fear of passing, and he knows he's on his way out. He's good with that. But he's not good without his friends coming to visit. All right? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oops, back in the...
I guess this is on, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Mary Hebert. I have good news. As you know, I've gone to St. B. Cancer Care for the last 5 years. And my 5 years are over, and they tell me I do not have to come again.
Congratulations. That's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? I've been there myself, and it's it's just wonderful. Is there anybody else? Oh, over here.
Last week we told you about Nestory and what had happened with his family out in Tanzania. And he just felt so strongly that he wanted to go back to see his mom if he could one last time, or anyhow, so he's worked so hard all this time. He had, was able to save up enough money so nobody had to help him. He did this all on his own, which I think is just remarkable. And but how he got all his papers in order to leave on such short notice, but the fellow RSNL that worked with MCC and us, he'd gotten in touch with him, and he helped him. So when I took him to the airport on Thursday morning, we just zipped through. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was just really wonderful. But Shaw Prayer Ladies, I want to let you know that he had his prayer shawl in his backpack. It was not, he was not going anywhere without it. And he said, "And I'm going to bring it back." I said, "Well, Nestory, if someone else can use it there," I said, "leave it there because we can make you another one." So he has not let us know yet that he's there in Uganda. And one of the reasons would be the electricity is so intermittent that they can't plug in their cell phones, so then he can't let us know. So we're kind of anxious about that. And he's coming back on January 3rd, so let's hope that all goes well. He has no idea whether his mom was still alive when he left here. So, yeah, lots of things to pray about. So, okay.
Wonderful. Thanks for bringing us up to date on that. Is there anybody else that would like to share anything this morning? No? Okay. Well, thank you to everybody who did share. So this is our second Advent this morning, and we're talking about listening. Sometimes, when everything is really, really quiet, you hear something you never expected, and it can really lead to something special. So I found this video, just came across it at random online, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning. And it's based all on a true story. This actually happened, pretty much the way the video depicts it, on the first Christmas during the First World War in the trenches in France. And this is actually a commercial for an online company called Sainsbury, so I apologize for the short little cling thing that comes up at the end. But the message it conveys at this time a year is absolutely priceless. And again, it's based on a true story when British soldiers and the Deutsche Soldaten were brought together to forget about the war and just pretend for a short, short little while that the war didn't exist, nothing else existed, just the love and the peace of Christmas time. So, if you could please roll the video and please enjoy.
Jenkins, Oakley, Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Like me.
Rose, she's called.
And this soon, I'm just soon.
Oh,
Okay. Happy Christmas. Frohe Weihnachten.
I especially love the part where the British soldier gives up his bar of chocolate, kind of slips it quietly into the German soldier's pocket so he can give him a little bit of a Christmas present. Anyways, now that we've watched the video, I thought it might be nice, and again, that's all based on a true story. That actually happened, which I thought was just absolutely phenomenal. But I thought it might be nice in our own way to recreate that special Christmas and listen to each other sing Silent Night. So if you want, stand. If you don't want to stand, sit, whatever you feel like doing. And sing in whatever language you want. If you're more comfortable singing in Deutsches, sing in German. If you're more comfortable singing in English, sing in English. Let's have the German and the English mixed together and have everybody singing Silent Night together just like they did and sharing and gathering together this special time of year.
Peter, being the historian, also told me that this song was just written 200 years ago today.
For prayer, please. Merciful God, during this busy, bustling season, quiet us so we may hear your voice. Help us to take some time each day to remember and pray for those who might not be doing that well, whether they be in hospital or at home. Forgive us when we have failed, and renew your spirit within us. When someone's in a rush and cuts in front of us at the checkout line, at the store, grant us the spirit to forgive them. When we're rushing and maybe stuck in traffic, help us to be patient and understanding. And with little things don't go quite right, Maybe the turkey gets a little too dark. Or the package says it comes with batteries, and it turns out it doesn't. Or when we show up for dinner and realize we've left the Jell-O salad in the fridge at home. Grant us peace and help us to remember that in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. All that matters is that you lead us, God, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. Amen. Now the quartet will lead us as we do the offering.
Uns mit Jubelschallen, Herr Jesus, heut gegrüßt. Wie freuen wir uns alle, dass dein Geburtstag ist. Für uns zur Welt geboren, lagst du auf Heu und Stroh. Sonst wären wir verloren, nun aber sind wir froh. Wie hast du doch uns Kinder von Anfang an geliebt, obgleich wir durch aus Sünde so mannigfach betrübt. O gib zum Christgeschenke uns neue Herzen heut, dass jedes dein Gedenke in rechter Dankbarkeit. Lass nun bei so viel Gaben uns nie vergessen dein, denn dich im Herzen haben geht über goldenen Schein. O lass bei allen Kleinen im ganzen Erdenrund heut deine Liebe scheinen, o mach dich allen.
I've got a couple of scripture readings to do for you this morning before Gary comes up. The first one is from Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets a long time ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God. by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Second reading this morning is Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you, Frank. It always seems to me a little presumptuous standing up here. All you wonderful people following the way of God, in your way, teaching me many things, what have I to say? I have often called this my preaching style the loaves and fishes principle. You know, the story of Jesus going to feeding the 5,000, and a little boy comes along with a lunch. It's a lunch made for a little boy, and that's all it is. And somehow God takes that and does something amazing. Takes those little, that little lunch and touches thousands of people. It seems to me that that's what happens when those of us who land up here preaching preach. We come up with our feeble little words. And somehow, when people are listening, God touches hearts, in spite of us often. Let's take a minute to pray. We are so grateful, God, that you are here, that you long to meet us, and you are as excited to connect with us as we are with you. Thank you for the songs that we have sung, for the words that we have heard that have reminded us of the amazing season we're in and the way that you walk with us. Continue to help us to have open ears to hear you, to hear your spirits moving, to invite us to celebrate who you are and what you have done, and to recommit ourselves to follow you. Amen. Some time ago, I think it was a couple of years ago, there was a video put on YouTube which was really, really quite cute. It was called Listen, Linda. Did anybody have you see that? All the Lindas here have? Yeah. It was really cute. It was a three-year-old talking. He was talking to his mother. He was trying to explain why he was stealing cupcakes, I think. And it's all about listening. Chris, can you make this thing work? I'd like to play you. I'll just play you 15 or 20 seconds of it. It's really kind of cool, if I can get this thing going.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
It goes on and on. It's really worth a listen. If you go under Listen, Linda, you'll catch it. So it's really cute, and as you read through that, or listen through that, pardon me, no reading involved, although there is one with subtext. After a while, if you listen to it for a while, you begin to say, just a minute, where'd that kid get that from? Listen, Linda, listen, Linda. Later on, he said, listen, Linda, honey, to his mom. I think he's going to be a politician. Anyhow, I began to realize that he learned it at home. probably heard mom and dad often, lots of words, lots of listen, listen, listen. And you kind of wonder if there actually was any listening involved in that house. Anyhow, a biblical understanding of listening involves not only hearing and understanding, it involves responding, especially when it's God that's speaking. And so to be truly listening means we're ready for action. It's like the wise men, right? They're out there, see the star, listen to the star, whatever. And when it was time to go, they put their life behind it. Or the shepherds, for all that matter. The term word in both the Old and New Testament means more than just sound waves. In the Old Testament, the word is dabar. It means a word speaks something into existence. And so there's God in Genesis 1. God said, and it happens, right? It may have taken 18 billion years, we don't know, but whatever, 14. God spoke creation into being. Or in the New Testament, again, the word is logos. And again, there's more to the word than just sound waves. There's power and authority to it. You know, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this? It's Jesus. That's, incidentally, John's Christmas story. And so there is Jesus as God's Word, changing lives, changing history, changing everything. So the story that Frank read and that Ingrid explained to us is a story that invites us to listen. It's Zechariah. I was just thinking as she was telling the story, whether they should call him John or Zechariah. Maybe they should have called him John Zacharias. Sorry, John. I'm not sure if the Zachariases here are descendants of this one, but they must be. They all listen so well. So Zechariah is saying, listen. And he quotes a bunch of Old Testament. It's actually from the Septuagint, the Greek version, but whatever. He quotes a bunch of prophets who are saying, here's what's coming. And Zechariah is saying, guess what, folks? It's here. It's here. The Messiah is about to show up. I need you to listen so that you can hear, understand, and respond with your lives. So, looking through the passage, verse 68, it says, so what is God doing? What are the prophets telling us? God redeemed us. Well, we don't use the word redeem very often. Well, maybe when we're using up our points from our loyalty cards, but mostly we don't use that word. So what's another word for redeem? Deliver, set free. This is Exodus language. The children of Israel were slaves, and they were redeemed. They were set free from slavery. Woohoo! The second word in verse 69 is salvation. It talks about the horns of salvation, the strength. So salvation also is a word that we don't use outside of church very often. Maybe we talk about savings when we're at the bank, although most of us don't understand that either. So what's another word for salvation? Well, it's to restore. To bring it back. You watch on TV once in a while, they restore houses, they restore cars. They bring them back to what they were intended to be. And that's what salvation is. God bringing us back to what we were intended to be. And he does that in a number of ways. First of all, by being born. We come to Christmas and it looks so beautiful and benign and warm and fuzzy. Baby in a manger, you know, animals around, and it's just so... It was actually a big deal. If you look at passages like Philippians chapter 2, the first 11 verses, it says this was tough for Jesus. He had to look at all he had to leave behind, and he humbled himself and he came to earth. This was tough for him. Another way he talks to us about being renovated is by showing us with his life. This is how renovated people live. And by teaching us with his words. And finally, of course, it's his death. Now, we often look at Jesus' death and the pain that he went through, the pain of the physical crucifixion. Yeah, that was tough. Thousands of people were crucified. They all went through that. The huge pain for Jesus was the disconnect from God. You know where he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? That's the point of pain. Thinking that he was abandoned. Hang on to that thought. We're going to come back to that. So, God has come to set us free, redeem us, to restore us, to save us. Then in verse 72 it says, to show us mercy. Old Testament word is loving kindness. The picture that we want to attach to that comes from Luke 2. It's the Good Samaritan. Here's this guy who comes along, sees a guy, different background, different culture, has no reason to help him, and well, you know the story. All the things he does to him. That's mercy. And finally, in verse 69, it talks about leading us in the way of peace. And the people listening would have had in mind the Old Testament term shalom, which means well-being or wholeness in every area of our life. All is well. I like this microphone. All is well. Okay, so what does it mean for us to be redeemed and saved, or to be set free and renovated? Very often when we talk about people who are not followers of Jesus, we use some interesting language. They're of the world, they're from the principality of darkness, and we talk about evil and all these sinister words. And the fact of the matter is, most people who I know who aren't Christians, pretty fine folks. They're not full of darkness and evil and all that kind of stuff. What they're doing, which is not uncommon for human nature, is they want life to be happy and fun and good and easy. Is that fair? And so they want their finances to be good, so finances are easy. They want their health to be good, so that they don't have to worry about that. They want their relationships to be good, and all of life, and they do everything they can to control that. Pretty normal, not an evil venture as such. There are some Christian religious groups who kind of tie into that. There are groups that suggest that if we follow God, we will be rich. I don't know about you, but it hasn't worked really great. There's a whole lot of people in the continent of Africa who are still waiting for that one to kick in. There are others who suggest that if we truly follow Jesus, he'll heal us of every problem we have. I sat down with a pastor of a church who held that particular theology probably about 3 weeks ago. And essentially what he said to me was, if you had faith, you wouldn't have health issues. So, okay. Kind of felt sorry for him because he's kind of missing the point here. Lots of us try and make life easy, and we try and control and massage life to be what we want it to be. What we are redeemed from, what we are freed from, is our need to control everything. And what we are renovated to, saved to, is this. God comes down at Christmas and puts an arm around our shoulder. Turns us around and he says, let me give you another vantage point here on things. What do you see? And instead of seeing we want life easy, and easy life's a tough one to have because there's a few inevitables, and one of them is called death, and you know. And he turns us around and we begin to understand that there are different foci. The primary one is reconnecting with God. Remember I told you that when Jesus died, that the point of pain for him was the disconnect with God. We are saved to be reconnected. That's what we were made for. And when we're renovated back to the original, that's what it is. And with that reconnection with God comes a sense of peace from inside, that the struggles aren't the focus anymore. Another thing that happens as we follow the way of Jesus is we begin to see that God doesn't save us from struggles in life. God says, there are struggles in life. Got that? I'm never going to abandon you. I'll never leave you alone. And so we read Psalms like Psalm 23 or Psalm 121, and we go, yes. And as people, we heard about Rudy in the hospital being palliative, when people in that condition often look through to those kind of texts and say, and they hang on and say, that's part of what we signed up for. The potholes come. We're never alone. Romans chapter 8. What can separate us from God's love? Hardship and trials and difficulty? Nah. God's in there for the long run. And not only is God there walking with us as we go through the bumps of life, and there are bumps in life, but he says, hey, let me surround you with some fabulous people. And he gave us each other. And when we go through struggles, and some of you were sharing today about the good stuff and this difficult stuff, we share because you know the other people here care. And God says, that's part of the package. I'm going to surround you with people who care about you. You people are fabulous at that. You know how to reach out and care. We don't do the talking behind the back. We do the hugging right up front. And I'm praying for you, and we'll be thinking about you. And when you say that, you mean that. And we have, of course, God's Word, which we read through that and we go, oh man, what an amazing promise. And we hang on to them very tightly. We take a look at this new life when Jesus turns us around and we say, I don't know if I can do this. And Jesus says, sure you can. I set you free from being in control of everything. I'm going to give you a bit of a hand here. It's like the thing without batteries. I'm giving you some batteries. The Holy Spirit. I'm going to empower you to be able to do this thing. And lo and behold, we change, right? Galatians 5, 22 and 23, what does it say? The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Some of us are still working on a few of those, especially the patience end. But we change, and we become something. And life being easy and perfect isn't what we're looking for anymore, because we're connected in relationship with God and with each other. And it gives us a hope which sees past potholes. It doesn't end there. It's all good. And he also gives us new vistas. Instead of asking, how do I make life easy for me? We find ourselves beginning to say, hey, there's somebody hurting. How do I care for them? And so at Christmas time, I know a bunch of you are involved with food banks and street ministries and supporting people in different countries and, you know, Franklin Graham's shoebox gifts and all that kind of stuff. And all of that pours out of a heart that says, how do I care for people who are hurting? It's amazing. That's part of the renovated us, that we care for others. We used to care about ourselves. We still care about ourselves, but the focus now is something else. That's what Zechariah is talking about here. He says, listen. Listen and see all the ways that God loves you. And now, you've heard it, you've understood it, and now, time to live it. Time to live it in your life. All of this is like the Good Samaritan story, or the prodigal son. Let's get the right story here, right chapter in Luke chapter 15, where the Good Samaritan comes back to the father and realizes, not that he's perfect, not that the bumps are all gone, he belongs, and that he's cared for, and that life is wonderful, and that's us. And that's what Christmas story is. We belong, and God cares, and God's going to hold our hand, and God's going to surround us, and God's going to empower us, and God's going to fill us with a sense of hope. We still have days where we're overwhelmed, to be sure. But But that's the promise. I love the passage in Philippians because it shows a picture of what that looks like. Philippians says, we belong together. You're my partner. And it says, we're on the journey. We're slowly getting there. And it says, we're motivated by love, the love that God pours into our heart. And it talks about hope. It's wonderful. That's the Christmas story. So, some of you read your bulletins. Tassels and blue string. There's this fabulous little passage in Numbers chapter 15, starting in verse 37, going on for about a half dozen verses. And he's just been talking to the people about the laws of the Old Testament. The people who are scholars said there are 613 laws in the first five books of the Bible. Yeah. So they said, you know, he's just been talking in the passage about what they do when they mess up and all that kind of stuff. And he says, how do we remember? He says, tell you what. Why don't we take a tassel and hang it on our clothes? There's tassels for everybody. No, I'm kidding. They're not really. Hang it on our clothes. And every time you look at the tassel, you say, oh, yeah. Remember what God did for us and what God has invited us, how God has invited us to live in response. And the blue string, well, no. Blue string reminds us of God's glory. We see that in the vastness of the ocean and the sky, and it just draws our attention back to God. Blue strings and tassels, reminding us to listen in Advent. Now, I can't help but notice none of you are wearing tassels. So what do? There are other things that can remind us. How about during Advent we use Advent trappings? Every time you see a Christmas tree, remember, what has God done for us? Or the decorations, or the candles, or the nativity set. Those all are there to remind us. Those are our tassels. So every time we see them, you think, what has God done for us? And what are we invited to do in response? Listen. This Advent, may you listen carefully to hear the story once again of redemption and salvation and mercy and peace, so that you and I together, holding hands of course, can become the people that God has called us to be and experience the joy and hope that comes this season. Amen.
As lately we watched o'er our fields through the night, a star there was seen of such glorious light. All through the night angels did sing in carols so sweet of the birth of a king. A king of such beauty was ne'er before seen, and Mary his mother so like to a queen. Blessed be the hour, welcome the morn, for Christ our dear Savior on earth now is born. His throne is a manger, his court is aloft, but troops of bright angels in lays sweet and soft. Him they proclaim, our Christ by name, and earth, sky, and air straight are filled with his fame. Then shepherds, be joyful, salute your liege king. Let hills and dales ring to the song that he sing. Blessed be the hour, welcome the morn, for Christ our dear Savior on earth now is born.
I know it's not always appropriate in church, but the quartet does such a wonderful job when they come up and sing. Peter Lutkemann playing away. How about we give them a quick round of applause? Thank you, guys. You guys sounded fantastic this morning, just like you always do. And that's it for the morning. Let's stand for the benediction, please. And then we'll ask you to remain standing for the final song. Angels We Have Heard on High. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His light shine upon you both without and within. And warm your heart so that strangers may too feel your warmth and hear your kindly greeting for them as you pass them on the streets this week. May you find peace and love as you prepare to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. Amen.
Why lead alone when I can have them all? 127. Do you all know that already?
That's a different book.
Oh, it's a different book. Oh, sorry.
197 in the other.
Well, that'll learn me. Thank you.
Angels we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the skies, and the mountains in reply echo with their pretty light. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Tidings did you hear? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Thank you.